Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The global energy crisis is deepening on a weekly basis, with price hikes and supply uncertainty, all of which is leading to many householders investigating retrofitting their homes to make them more energy efficient. But is the national retrofitting scheme fit for purpose? I'm joined now by Ciarán Byrne, the Director of National Retrofit at the SEAI, who will answer your questions or queries on insulation and heat pumps and retrofitting generally. Ciarán, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac, and hello to your listeners.
Well, hello to the many listeners, Ciarán, who've been texting the programme and emailing the programme since we discussed the proposal last Friday, I think it was, to ban gas boilers soon. And we got a huge response, as I say, most people querying the practicalities of switching to a heat pump. So let's begin with that one, Ciarán. Let's talk about heat pumps. Is it suitable for every home, a heat pump?
The short answer, Cormac, is no, it's not. And maybe, I don't know if it's useful, but just explain to your listeners what a heat pump is. Many of them do know, but a lot of people don't know.
Really quickly, we have so many queries, Ciarán, okay?
Okay, yep, no problem. Oh, sorry, but explain. Your fridge is basically a heat pump. That's what a heat pump is. And we all know our fridge has to be well sealed for it to work efficiently. Your home is the same as a fridge. If it's not well sealed, the heat pump won't work efficiently. So it's not suitable for all homes, but it is suitable for many.
Okay, so if gas and oil boilers are banned, let's say, in the next couple of years, and people can't, they retrofit their homes, but it doesn't bring them up to an adequate level, what happens?
Well, what you're looking at now at the moment is, and certainly in the new build sector, we're moving towards that the houses are built to a completely different standard. But in terms of retrofit, you're looking at, if they don't have a heat pump or are not available to heat pump, you're looking at things like biomass boilers in terms of pellet or wood chip. What we're also doing as well, and Minister Ryan and I know our colleagues were at a very significant conference on district heating, which we're rolling out at pace in Ireland as well. And district heating, by the way, just to explain to people, can be done on a much smaller and more local scale. So, for example, a new housing estate that's built, or even going into a new houses, you can put a district heating system into that. When you put that in, you can then start connecting existing homes to a smaller district heating system. And then further down the track, there's is things like bio oil and also hydrogen, which are a bit further down the track.
Okay, moment. And the biomass boilers, for example, are they expensive?
Yeah. They are. I don't have exact prices, but they do cost. They're probably in around similar prices, I guess, in terms of a heat pump type infrastructure. I don't have prices in front of me, Cormac.
In terms of a gas or oil installation, a boiler installation, what is it, 5-7k or so? Maybe my prices are way off. But what would a heat pump be?
Well, you see, that's exactly it. You're talking about 5-7k. So what we're saying for a heat pump, typically heat pumps anywhere between 12 and 14k, right? And again, there is a little bit of like how long is a piece of string. What we're doing, though, in a grant scheme is we're grant aiding it to the point where it becomes comparative with a boiler, or oil or gas boiler replacement. So our grant for heat pump went from 3,500 up to 10,500 if you do it through the OSS, and up to 8,500 if you do it in the individual grants. So there's significant grant funding available there.
Come here to me. Loads of people have questions on the grant and on costs. An awful lot of people shelling out significant amounts of money, Ciarán, money that now more than ever people don't have because of interest rate hikes or energy hikes, ironically, or whatever. So people were contacting the programme. They said they received quotes of 90,000, 90, 80,000, 60,000 with a max grant of 25,000. That's what they're being told. Like, is that the case? And is that doable, I wonder, for people?
Well, I would query the very high cost. Our cost is showing that a retrofit for a typical detached home are anywhere between 14,000 and 60,000 with the grant available, up to 38,000 if you've got all measures. So I query the larger grant amounts. But you see, one of the slight problems we have, Cormac, because we have standardised grant amounts, but we have such a variability in our housing stock. So we don't know in the conversation, was it 90,000 for a 7,000 square foot detached home down the country, or was it for a regular or modest three-bed semi-D in an urban area?
Do you know what? I don't query the cost there, and I'll tell you why. Because we've got email upon email, text upon text of people detailing the exact stuff that they sought to do in terms of retrofit and the quotes they were getting. Let me read you one for example, and this is from Deirdre. She says, I started 2022 with a focus on retrofitting our home to do our bit for climate change and improve our home. I got a price of 90,000 euros plus. We live in a standard three-bed end-of-terrace house in Dublin's north inner city. Assuming the max grants totalling €35,000 would be applicable, there's no guarantee of this, she says, as it's dependent on reaching a certain BER rating. We would incur a minimum cost of €55,000. Also, she says, the work of the project could not be broken down into more bite-sized chunks. It was all or nothing, a project, all or nothing, she says. The work would take at least 6 weeks, and we'd have to vacate the house for a minimum 2 week period to facilitate the removal of floors, etc. And one more thing, she says, not covered through grants is the cost of accommodation for that time, nor the replacement of the wooden floors. To be honest, I was very disheartened by the whole process from Deirdre.
Yeah, well, thanks for that comment. Well, I can't comment, obviously, on Deirdre's specific example, but what we do know from the from the OSS and the one-stop shops and the information we have through our grant schemes is that the typical costs are outlined, what I've said to you there. I'll be honest with you, I am surprised at that amount for a small end of terrace. The other thing that's very important to note as well is there are different options available. So within the OSS, the one-stop shop, doing it all in one go, there's different suites of measures available to the homeowner. By and large, they do not have to move out during the retrofit. That's another point. And the other point then again is we have a separate scheme for individual measures. So when somebody gets a cost and they say, look, I can't do it all in one chunk, much and all as I'd love to, because the conditions in the external environment is awful at the moment, I'll do it in stages. We have an individual grant measure program where they can bite it off chunk by chunk on individual
measures. And we'll come to that in just a second. But what's happening in Deirdre's case then? I wonder, and I know you can't comment because you don't know the detail. I mean, is it a builder that may be profiteering? We don't know, but could that be the case?
Well, I suppose I don't honestly know, but what I can say to Deirdre, she's texting, I'd be delighted to have a look at that quote and see what's involved in it, what exactly they're specifying for. What you outlined in discussion was a small three-bedroom semi-D at the end of a terrace. So that says to me a relatively modest property. So that's what I'm saying to you. Without seeing the detail, it's very difficult to comment on the cost.
She's not on her own there in terms of 90,000 of a quote. Yeah. She's definitely not on her own, Ciarán. And you mentioned the one-stop shop. Now, how many one-stop shops do we have? That's the question people have.
Currently, we have 11 registered and we have another 14 in the pipeline. I'm working through the process to be registered.
Okay, so 11 registered at the moment. Is that meeting demand?
I would say it's satisfying current demand. They all have significant pipelines and we're registering as many as we can. But it's worth noting that we only opened the registration scheme in February of this year, and we got the first ones registered in March of this year. So we've been working hard to register as many as possible to start meeting that demand.
Why then are we being told that there's a huge waiting list, that people have to wait for Matilda Hickey, for example? Can you ask the person from the SEAI if there's still a 2-year waiting list for a retrofit for pensioners to get the full grant for basic retrofit? When I rang, they told me I'd have to wait at least 2 years for an engineer to visit, she says, and that it'd be longer again before any work could be done. It seems to me that only the rich can afford to retrofit their homes, as Matilda.
Yeah, well, I think Matilda, and I don't know, again, full details, but it appears to me that she's pointing towards what is our Warmer Home Scheme, which is a fully funded scheme for energy poverty. And there is a significant waiting list on that particular scheme. So as I understand, the waiting list to get a full survey done is because supply, the scheme is still catching up from COVID. You can imagine, I know people think you can't talk about COVID, but we can. We closed down the scheme for approximately 2 years, all the while applications are coming in. The particular cohort in the scheme that we're dealing with there, by and large, are more vulnerable than general population. So in general, building opened up, this didn't. So we're catching up on that particular
So board. The rich people don't have to wait and the poor, vulnerable people have to wait 2 years. Is that it?
And I wouldn't characterise it quite like
that. Well, that's the truth of it, though, isn't it?
Well, no, I think you're being a little bit unfair to me now. We have a scheme there. We've put as much capacity on. We've doubled the capacity on the Warmer Home Scheme since last year. We're still driving up output on that scheme to get through as much as possible. So we're bringing the survey time down to approximately 10 months. The OSSs are started. They were registered, opening for registration in March, and we've got 11 registered, 14 more in the pipeline, and we're driving as hard as we can to get more into it.
Well, okay, but the question I have for you, let's say I have a house and I get a quote to retrofit for 60,000, as you say, is the average quote. How long am I waiting for it to be done?
Well, that is down to the individual, the OSS, and when they can put you in capacity, when they can actually schedule your works in. I don't have that information because there's 11 separate companies that have their own.
Are we talking weeks or months, though?
You're probably talking months at this point, but can I qualify that and say, doing the deep retrofit is somewhat analogous to getting an extension done on your home. So you don't get up on a Monday morning, ring the guy, and the extension builder comes to your house the following day. Mm-hmm. There is shortages right across the economy. I myself have been personally looking for a quote for carpentry for the last 3 months, and I can't get anybody to even quote me.
So your quote then for 60,000 must be out of date. I mean, construction inflation has gone through the roof.
Construction inflation is currently, the Building Consumer Index is about 12.1%. So what we'd expect is that when you sit down and quote with your one-stop shop, that they will give you a certain timeline on that quote and they'll work to that particular quote. That's what we're expecting.
So when did you get the, or what time period are you working off when you're using the 60,000 average for a retrofit?
We're looking at the start of this year. So what we're doing is internally we're keeping a close eye on costs right across all of the schemes. We know there's inflation in the market. We're watching that, but we want to be very careful that we don't end up chasing inflation, just driving the inflation higher by adding more grants to it.
Yeah. I wonder, should the grant be increased though? Because it's obviously based on what we're hearing, Ciarán, it's not enough for an awful lot of people.
Well, there's different ways, and this is something you would have talked about in your show, right across in terms of cost of living. Just putting more grant in behind the existing grant. Just bear in mind, for example, the heat pump grant up until the start of this year was 3,500. It's now up to 10,500. So we've put a significant increase in that grant as it is. If we just put more grant in, there's a very real possibility that we'll just inflate the market directly, particularly where you're looking at a restricted level of supply. So what our focus on is getting more and more supply into the market to help satisfy that.
I don't know, though, but just... We're getting so many texts and emails, like the Eilish, for example. My home was built in 1928. I'm in my 60s. I'm just above the minimum wage. I'll never be able to afford to retrofit my home. Every one of my siblings live in old houses. I'm so angry listening to that woman. I think that's probably from last Friday or so. We were talking about banning gas and oil boilers. But people, if they don't have a significant chunk of disposable income, Ciarán, they might as well say bye-bye to retrofit.
Well, yeah, but I suppose the one-top shop scheme does require significant income. But actually, on the other schemes, for example, attic insulation, we've increased the grant to that by up to 80%. So it's cost affordable, it's relatively cheap. We have a lot of suppliers and people should do it. And even just insulating your attic makes a significant difference to the home. You talked about living in a home from 1928. They're what we're calling heritage homes. And some of those older homes are a bit more difficult in terms of retrofit because of the building physics and how they're built and the breathability of the buildings. But right now, even insulating your attic, which is, there's an 80% grant available for that, is a measure that everybody should be able to undertake. And even if it requires financing for a loan, the credit unions are giving loans for that kind of thing, which is reasonably affordable.
Yeah. Another listener, Joan, says, we had a survey. Our house is BER rated D1. In order to get the grant, you have to get to B2 rating. Quote was 97,000. Grant available was 22,500. Absolutely not doable, Joan. So that's the question that I put to you so often. Is there a grant? An awful lot of people asking this, Ciarán. Is there a grant if you want to do windows only?
There is not currently a grant for windows only. It's part of the wider package on the one-stop shop scheme, because what we're saying is on the individual measures, the measures that have most impact on a home are the insulation, wall insulation and attic insulation. So windows and doors don't add a huge amount in terms of thermal, but they do as a whole of home package.
I mean, an awful lot of people look at their windows, they look old, they see and hear the draft coming through them, and they say, I could get the windows done, it would make a huge difference. I mean, it doesn't make sense to leave it out as an option, does it?
Well, that's the question, and we looked at technically when you're saying if your home is old and drafty, where you should be starting is the cavity and the attic as opposed to the windows, because cavity in the attic, the wall in the attic, is where most of the heat loss takes place. And so to the previous caller, in terms of the expensive, and I can't quote an individual prices, but there is an individual pathway journey to say, well, look, that's too dear for me. I can do the individual steps as and when I feel able to do those. You know?
Can I read you two texts? One from Aoife, who says, could you please ask your guest when the government will announce details of the low-cost loans for funding retrofits that were promised in spring and then in summer? Still nothing, says Aoife. We're waiting on loans to fund a one-stop shop retrofit.
Yeah, thanks very much for that. And it's a great point into that, because the government is, and we're working very closely with our parent department on the low-cost loan scheme. And that's going to be a government-backed loan scheme, which means it's de-risked, which means that pillar banks and pillar institutions should be able to offer specific retrofit finance at significantly below market rates. We had anticipated, as your guest rightly said, in spring, we're working through it. We have some funding and credit institutions in the background. We're doing a lot of our analysis and risk analysis with, and that is ongoing. It's independent of us. In other words, we can't drive it completely, and we're working to them. So we expect it by Q4 of this year or latest Q1 of next year, from we're expecting.
Okay, one more. Listen to this interview with the SEAI and seething, says this listener. It's a scheme for rich people. I contacted them many times since January, and there were very few individual grant options. No individual grant options for windows, for example. You have to go with a deep retrofit with a one-stop shop. I don't know what that guy is on about. A number of people asking us, you might answer this really briefly, Ciarán, that they email even last April, they're still waiting for a reply from the SEAI. Is that down to being inundated with requests in your shop there?
Well, we certainly had heavy traffic to our systems after the launch of the schemes in February and March, but we haven't seen huge waiting list responses recently. So certainly, if caught up when I come back, I can talk offline and see, understand what their particular concerns were. But we work with an outsourced provider. We had very significant traffic, which we rose to meet in, you know, February, March, April of this year, and it hasn't been reported since. So I'm not doubting in any way, but I'm surprised to hear that, and I'm certainly someone we can follow up on.
Okay, you can definitely talk to them offline, and you'll talk to them online again. We'll have you back, Ciarán, because an awful lot of people, I've never seen as many questions for an item. There's an insatiable demand for this, so you're very good to come on and answer those questions. Ciarán Byrne, Director of National Retrofit at SEAI, or Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. Thank you very much indeed. And let me tell you, listener, before we finish this item, if you are beginning a retrofit journey in your home, we would love to hear from you, even do a small little radio diary and update us on progress, and from the horse's mouth, hear how it goes. You can email drivetime@rte.ie. You can text us 51551.